In January of this year, David Brooks, the New York Times opinion writer, wrote a wonderful article called "Now is the Time to Talk About the Power of Touch." He started the article talking about a seminal study in 1945 in Germany, when babies in an orphanage were cared for and they were given the top medical care and every possible advantage to stay healthy. One of the important aspects of it was they wanted to have minimal touch to stop infection. And shockingly, within 2 years, 37% of the children had died. Mortality rate was 37% without touch. What's fascinating about this story or this statistic is that, I mean, instinctively we know how touch is important, but what this study showed, it was essential. It was literally life or death for children under the age of two. In the article, he goes on to make the distinction between the power of what he calls positive emotional touch and disenchanting touch. In other words, he talked about how important it was that we actually touch with meaning, with authentic. That when somebody is touched in that way, we know, we instinctively know when somebody cares, when somebody loves. And when we're touched like that, it, as he puts it, it transforms us completely. Mostly unconsciously, but the transformative effects of the power of touch is always there, but it's very hard to document, he says. On the other hand, he says these unenchanted touch can be touches of indifference. It can be touches of authority or even of abuse and violence. And we know how easily that those touches can devastate, can scar for a lifetime and undo that takes years and years to undo, if ever. In the end, his article was a powerful challenge to all parents of young children, and particularly, especially in this age of technology, that where everyone is on their devices and it seems that they've lost the recognition of how ordinary, simple touch, even among friends, is essential. Not just a nice thing, essential. And how important it is that we recover that. I couldn't think of a better way to introduce this gospel today than that very article. Because this article, this gospel today mirrors exactly what David Brooks says in the article. He talks about touch. In fact, it's mentioned no less than 7 times in that one short gospel passage. But even here, Jesus' disciples don't understand the distinction between the touch. I mean, they do, but Jesus has to point it out to them. There was this loving power of touch that came out of Jesus just by touching his clothes. And when Jesus turns around and says, "Who touched me?" And the disciples miss it completely. They said, "Who touched you? Everyone's around you. What are you talking about?" But they weren't the touch he was talking about. Those are the disenchanted touches. Nobody was really meaning anything by that touch. But this touch, the touch of the woman with a hemorrhage, was one of need. One that engendered a power of healing that came forth from Christ. And then, of course, the little girl, 12 years old, is then, of course, healed by the touch of being raised up. This number 12 years, is not coincidental. 12 years the woman is suffering, 12 years old, 12 is considered that whole number. 3 and 4 multiplied by are the divine number and the earthly number. So it's a symbolism again, calling back to 12, the tribes of Israel, the 12 apostles. It's the wholeness. In other words, God's power of touch will always heal us if we allow it. The challenge for us is to to engage in this powerful emotional touch that heals. And it seems so obvious, but yet we so often starve ourselves and others of this meaningful, positive emotional touch. And yet, who among us doesn't know that power, that when we were sick or suffering and our parents or friends came and gave us a hug? No words, just the assurance of love. Or when we lose a loved one and somebody gives us that gentle hug, again, no words are necessary. The power of love heals. In fact, words often can steal away from the power of that touch, the healing power of that touch. Or when we're devastated by something's happened in our relationship, or something happened to school or work, and we're internally devastated, and our spouse or friend knows it, but doesn't ask, but just simply puts a hand on our shoulder or gives us that gentle assurance of their loving presence. The power of touch is incredible. It transforms us when done right and well. You know, having come from Ireland, I know that the power, you know, that we don't touch all that much. The Irish aren't famous for a lot of touching. And when I was a kid, when I left Ireland at age 24, I gave my hug to my mum, but I shook my father's hand goodbye. And it seems, but in America, we have all this touch. We've lots, everyone hugs everyone for everything. But I wonder how much of it is really meaningful. I mean, authentic. You see, this is what David Brooks is trying to get to. The power of a meaningful touch and hug or touch is transformative. But the power of a meaningless, inauthentic, disenchanting hug can do not only no good, but actually damage, because it says nothing. My friends, today, God, we are made, and by today's example from David Brooks a while ago, we are made to be social beings. We are not just made for the importance of it, we are essential to our human condition. That's why what happens in this, at the border, our southern border, with children being taken away, so upsets us, is because regardless of their circumstances, we know that the child and the mother needs to be together for their own health. Internally, we know the power of that. And so today, for our own lives, the gospel calls us to allow God to flow through us through the power of touch. Who in our life needs that touch? Is it a mother? A father? Is it an elderly neighbor? Who is it that needs that simple, gentle, authentic touch to heal and to forgive? Remember always, in the end, an authentic, emotional, loving touch heals 1,000 wounds. Today, let us be part of God's loving touch in this world.